Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Today, we will be talking about Illinois Tool Works. Illinois Tool Works manufactures and sells industrial products worldwide. In this video, we will be talking about Illinois Tool Works business by going over its annual report, then review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios, and finally find the intrinsic value of the company. So let's dive in and review Illinois Tool Works.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the Form 10-K, which is the annual report that Illinois Tool Works filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2021. And on page 3 of this report, the company provides us a business overview. Illinois Tool Works states that it is a global manufacturer of a diversified range of industrial products and equipment with 83 divisions in 52 countries. The company's operations are organized and managed based on similar product offerings and end markets, which are divided in 7 segments. The first segment is the automotive OEM segment. This segment primarily serves the automotive original equipment manufacturers and tires market. Products in this segment include plastic and metal components, fastener and assemblies for automobiles, light trucks, and other industrial uses. The second segment is the food equipment segment. This segment primarily serves the food services, food retail, and food institutional markets. Products in this segment include ware washing equipment, cooking equipment, refrigeration equipment, food processing equipment, kitchen exhaust, and food equipment service, maintenance, and repair. The third segment is the test and measurement and electronics segment. This segment primarily serves electronics, general industrial, automotive original equipment manufacturers and tires, industrial capital goods, energy and consumer durables markets. Products in this segment include equipment, consumables, and other related softwares for testing and measurement of materials, structures, gases, and fluids, electronic assembly equipment, electronic components and component packaging, static control equipment, and pressure-sensitive adhesives. The fourth segment is welding, which serves the general industrial market. Products in this segment include arc welding equipment, metal arc welding consumables, and related accessories. Fifth segment is the polymers and fluids segment. This segment primarily serves the automotive aftermarket, general industrial MRO, which is maintenance, repair, and operations, and construction markets. Products in this segment include adhesives for industrial, construction, and consumer purposes, chemical fluids which clean and add lubrication to machines, epoxy and resin-based coatings, hand wipes and cleaners, fluids, polymers, and other supplies for auto aftermarket maintenance and appearance, fillers and putties for auto body repair, and polyester coating and patch and repair products for the marine industry. The sixth segment is the construction products segment. This segment primarily serves the residential construction, renovation, remodel, and commercial construction markets. Products in this segment include fasteners and related fastening tools for wood and metal applications, anchors, fasteners, and related tools for concrete applications, metal plate truss components, packaged hardware, fasteners, anchors, and other products for retail. The seventh and last segment is its specialty product segment. This segment serves the food and beverage, consumer durables, general industrial, industrial capital goods, and printing and publishing markets. Products in this segment include line integration, conveyor systems, and line automation for food and beverage industries, plastic consumables for multi-pack cans and bottles and related equipment, foil, film, and related equipment, product coating and marking equipment, plastic and metal closures and components for appliances, airport ground support equipment, and components for medical devices. Next, Illinois Tool Works talks about its business model, which it claims to be creating value by setting itself apart from its competitors. The first approach that it takes is its 80-20 front-to-back process, in which it focuses on its largest and best opportunities, which are the 80, and eliminates cost, complexity, and distractions associated with the less profitable opportunities, the 20. The company believes that the 80-20 enables its businesses to consistently achieve world-class operational excellence in product availability, quality, and innovation while generating superior financial performance. The second element of the business model is the consumer-backed innovation, where the company's innovation efforts are focused on understanding customer needs. The customer insights and learnings drive innovation at Illinois Tool Works and have contributed to a portfolio of approximately 19,300 grants and pending patents. The third element to its business model is its decentralized entrepreneurial culture, which is fast, focused, and responsive. The company claims that it customizes its approach in order to best serve its specific customers' needs. Now let's go to page 54, where the company provides us a revenue breakdown based on its 7 operating segments. For the year 2021, the company's total operating revenue amounted to about $14.455 billion. Back in 2020, it was about $12.6 billion as compared to 2019 when it was $14.1 billion. Due to the pandemic, all the 7 segments except the construction products segment saw a drop in its sales in the year 2020 as compared to those sales in the year 2019. However, the segment sales in the year 2021 have almost reached or surpassed the level seen in the year 2019. Over the past 3 years, automotive OEM, tests and measurement and electronics, and food equipment have been Illinois Tool Works' three largest operating segments. Now that we have a brief understanding of Illinois Tool Works' business, its seven operating segments, and its business model, let's review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. Hey guys, I'm on Morningstar looking at Illinois Tool Works. Under key ratios, we have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2012, the company's revenue amounted to about $17.9 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $14.5 billion. The company saw a structural change in the year 2021, which is why we do see a reset in the revenue in the year 2013. However, ever since 2013, the company's revenue has stayed fairly consistent, hovering somewhere in the $13 to $14 billion range. Next is the operating income. The operating income is the amount of money that's left with the company once we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2012, the company's operating income was about $2.8 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $3.5 billion. If you look at the past 10-year trend, we see a decline in the company's operating income from 2012 to 2013. This was due to that structural change. From 2013 all the way through 2018, the company's operating income was increasing. Then it saw a decline in the year 2019, and it dropped off in the year 2020. This was due to the pandemic. However, for the year 2021, the company's operating income is now higher than the pre-pandemic level. Next is the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it pays for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2012, the company's net income was about $2.9 billion. And for the year 2021, it was about $2.7 billion. Over the past 10 years, the company's net income has always been positive, which tells us that Illinois Tool Works has always reported a profit. Ideally, we want to see the company's revenue, operating income, and net income to have a similar trend. That is, we want these numbers to be positive, staying steady, or increasing. Next is the dividends per share. Back in 2012, the company paid out about $1.48 per share as dividend. And for the year 2021, it was about $4.72 per share as dividend. Illinois Tool Works has been hiking its dividends every year for the past 10 years. Next is the shares outstanding. Back in 2012, the company had 473 million shares outstanding. And for the trailing 12 months, that number has dropped down to 316 million shares outstanding. Illinois Tool Works has slowly been buying back its shares every year for the past 10 years. The fact that Illinois Tool Works likes to buy back its shares and that it likes to consistently hike its dividends, both of these point to the fact that the company's management is shareholder friendly. After that, looking at the book value per share, the book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from its total assets. Back in 2012, the company's book value was about $23.21 per share. And for the trailing 12 months, that number was about $11.62 per share. Over the past 10 years, the company's book value per share has been positive, which tells us that the company always had more assets than liabilities on its balance sheet. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract the company's capital spending from its operating cash flow. Back in 2012, the company's free cash flow was $1,690 million. And for the year 2021, it was $2,261 million. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow to be positive, staying steady, or increasing. Illinois Tool Works' free cash flow over the past 10 years has been positive, which tells us that the company's operating cash flow always exceeded its capital spending. I will be using the 2021 free cash flow number of $2,261 million for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line. So it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2012, the company's net margin was about 16.01%, and for the trailing 12 months, it was 18.64%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in sales over the past 12 months, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $18.64 left as pure profit. A net margin greater than 15% indicates that the company has a moat. Next is the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2012, the company's return on equity was about 28%, and for the trailing 12 months, it was about 79%. The three ways that a company can report high return on equity numbers are first, when the company's income increases, second is when the company buys back its shares, and third is when it becomes more leveraged, it can report higher return on equity numbers. Next is the return on invested capital. The return on invested capital gives us an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2012, the company's return on invested capital was about 20.20%, and for the trailing 12 months, it was 24.77%. Illinois Tool Works' weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 8.16%. And since the company's return on invested capital is greater than its weighted average cost of capital, we can safely say that the management is creating value for its shareholders. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage is the ratio of the company's income to its interest obligations. So it gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2012, the company's interest coverage was about 17.84 times. And for the trailing 12 months, it was 17.47 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of family investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Now let's look at the financial health and liquidity ratios. The first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. A current ratio greater than 1.0 tells us that the company has enough assets to fulfill its liabilities over the next 12 months. Ideally, we want to see the company's current ratio to be greater than 1.0. It's even better if it's greater than 1.5. Back in 2012, the company's current ratio was at 3.0, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.84. Next is the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio, except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. A quick ratio greater than 1.0 tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's quick ratio was at 2.20, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.29. The Illinois Tool Works current and quick ratios over the past 10 years indicate that the company was never in a liquidity bind, and it always had enough assets to fulfill its liabilities over the next 12 months. After that, looking at the financial leverage, the financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A financial leverage of 1.0 would tell us that all of the company's assets are financed via shareholders' equity. A financial leverage of 2.0 would tell us that half of the company's assets are financed via shareholders' equity, and half of them are financed via liabilities. Back in 2012, the company's financial leverage was at 1.83, and for the latest quarter, it was at 4.43. When we look at the past 10-year trend, we can see that the company's financial leverage increased all the way to about 4.98 in 2019. Ever since then, the company's financial leverage has slowly been trending downwards. Finally, looking at the debt-to-equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want the company's debt-to-equity ratio to be less than 1.0. Back in 2012, the company's debt-to-equity ratio was at 0.43, and for the latest quarter, it's at 1.94. The company's debt-to-equity ratio has a similar trend as the company's financial leverage. The high financial leverage, the high debt-to-equity ratio, and also the high return on equity numbers are primarily a result of share buybacks, which cause the company's equity portion on the balance sheet to decrease, which leads to such inflated numbers. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives an idea of how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sale to the day it actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2012, the company's day sales outstanding was about 56.62 days, and for the trailing 12 months, that number was about 67.50 days. Ideally, we want the company's day sales outstanding number to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose day sales outstanding number is growing rapidly, as it tells us that the company is being aggressive with its accounting, as it's trying to recognize its revenue sooner so that it can inflate its income numbers on its income statement. In the case of Illinois Tool Works, the management does not appear to be playing any such accounting tricks. Yes, the company's day sales outstanding number has slowly been trending upwards. However, it's not growing at a rapid pace where it's a cause of concern. Next is the day's inventory. This number gives an idea of how many days does the company's products sit in its inventory before they're sold. Ideally, we want to see the company's day's inventory number to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose day's inventory is growing, as it tells us that the company's products are just sitting around on the company's balance sheet. We'd rather see those inventory components be pushed onto the company's income statement and be realized as a profit. Back in 2012, the company's day's inventory was about 53 days, and for the trailing 12 months, it was about 62 days. Ever since 2016, the company's day's inventory has slowly been increasing. Next is the payables period. This number gives an idea of how many days does the company take to pay its suppliers. Ideally, we want the company's payables period to be staying steady or decreasing. What we do not want to see is a company whose payables period is growing rapidly, as it tells that the company's management is holding on to its cash in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers on its cash flow statement. Back in 2012, the company's payables period was about 22 days, and for the trailing 12 months, it was about 24 days. Over the past 10 years, the company's payables period has stayed fairly consistent. This tells us that the company's management is not playing any accounting tricks in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers. Now let's look at the company's current valuation. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. Illinois Tool Works' price-to-earnings is at 24.7. The company's price-to-book is at 18.1. The company's price-to-sales is at 4.6. The company has a price-to-cash flow of 26, and it has a dividend yield of 2.3%. We know that the high price-to-book ratio is a result of the share buybacks. As we talked about earlier, when a company buys back its shares, it decreases the equity portion on the balance sheet. When we compare Illinois Tool Works' current valuation to the S&P 500, and the S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States, and we can think about the S&P 500 as our opportunity cost. On all the valuation metrics other than the dividend yield, Illinois Tool Works is overvalued when compared to the S&P 500. Now let's look at Illinois Tool Works' discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I pasted the company's 2021 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which was $2,261 million. I'm using an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 7%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 7% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 10%. What this means is I want this investment to give me an annual return of 10%. In other words, I want to double my investment in about 7 years. Next, I'm using the long-term growth rate to be 2.437%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 2.437%. This number is in line with the U.S. 30-year Treasury yield. Illinois Tool Works has 316 million shares outstanding and has long-term debt of $6,909 million. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about $111 per share. And when we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is about $210 per share, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 1.88 times the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $19.5 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about $42 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $111 per share. Now, if we disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if you think that Illinois Tool Works is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about $40 per share. And if we disregard the debt, in other words, if you think that Illinois Tool Works is going to grow into perpetuity, so there's no point for us to worry about the company paying off its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about $133 per share. Finally, let's try to figure out what kind of return can we expect to get on this investment if you were to invest in the security at the current stock price. For that, I will set myself to the intrinsic value. My two value would be the current stock price, which is $210.15 per share. And I will run this analysis by changing the discount rate. What I get is, if I were to invest in the security at the current stock price, I can expect to get an annual return of about 7%. In other words, I can expect to double my investment in about 10 years if I were to purchase the security. Overall, Illinois Tool Works has good fundamentals. We saw a stability in the company's revenue and net income numbers. We saw that the company has consistently hiked its dividends and bought back its shares. Both of these show that the company's management is very shareholder friendly. Six out of the seven segments are seeing strong growth and momentum and have surpassed the sales numbers to the pre-pandemic levels. The segment that is still struggling is the automotive OEM segment, which is due to the component shortages impacting the production in that sector. Additionally, Illinois Tool Works is doing a good job at managing the inflationary pressures as it's passing on these added expenses and costs onto the end user with price increases. Lastly, Illinois Tool Works is not undervalued. However, fundamentally, it appears to be a good long-term investment. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Illinois Tool Works interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I'll greatly appreciate it. Thank you.